during Christmas? Have you ever felt displaced in life, where you just feel a little off? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about displacement and belonging and expectations. And when you feel inconvenienced or displaced, God may have something unique in store for you. We don't like being displaced. We don't like being inconvenienced. How many just was like, man, I really hope I get inconvenienced today. It would be just a really good check the box off my list. I'm telling you, inconvenience happens wherever you go. You can go anywhere. You can be in a rush and somebody stops. They want to talk to you. But you don't have time because you have things to do. You've got other things you have to have, and you get inconvenienced. I want to talk to you this morning about not being discouraged when your expectations are not met, whether it's for the day, whether it's for an event, whether it's for something you're doing. I want to encourage you to keep going and seek what God has in store for you. And I want to talk to you about Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So just think, if you were displaced and told by our Prime Minister Trudeau, we're going to do a census. And so no matter wherever you were born, you need to go back there. You need to figure out how you're going to do it. But you need to go back there. We're going to count you just to make sure we know how many people we got. Whereas now you get it in the mail. And you just send it. You don't send it. How many see? Do you send your census in when you get those? Yeah, some of us do. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in clothes, and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So let's say you go back to your own hometown. There's nowhere for you to stay. Somebody says, hey, I got this really great barn for you. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking probably half of you, you know, have experienced being with someone who's pregnant and being pregnant yourself. Have you been around a pregnant person before? Have you seen a pregnant person before? They're just happy all the time, aren't they? It's uncomfortable, from what I can tell, having a human body grow inside of you. Forget being pregnant, sitting on a donkey, traveling a very long way. You don't have heated or cooled seats. They're not leather. I mean, I guess you could make the donkey into a leather seat, but the point is, it's not comfortable. And I'm sure Joseph was just, anything you want, Mary. As he's like, this is uncomfortable. I'm hot. Now I'm cold. Like all these things. Some of you don't understand what I'm meaning. They get hot, then they get cold, and you don't know when it happens. What if she was craving something on the way to Bethlehem? I used to work at McDonald's as a teenager. I had a lady come in, she says, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but the way she said it was aggressive. And I was just like, okay. I want a cheeseburger. I'm like, you can have whatever you want. But I want it to be a grill order. And I'm like, it's going to be complicated, isn't it? She goes, I want 30 pickles on that cheeseburger. And I went, 30? She says, don't look at me like that. I want 30. I went, whoa, okay. I'm a teenager. I'm scared now. She goes, I want 30 pickles on it. I don't want 29. I don't want 31. I want 30 pickles on that cheeseburger. And I assumed she was going to count. So I went to the back and I said, I got a request. And they're like, what? There's a lady out there who wants a cheeseburger and she wants 30 pickles on it. And the guy's like, what? And I'm like, if you want to talk to her, you go right ahead. But I'm telling you right now, she's pregnant. And he goes, done. Whatever she wants. And he counted 30 pickles. And he put them around in circles, made it so that the bun landed properly on it. And she got her, I watched her open it up, count the 30 pickles. 30. Would it taste different with 31? All the ladies go, of course it will. So pregnant women need things. And us men don't know from second to second what that might be. So I can imagine Joseph walking the donkey, because he's walking, while she's pregnant on the donkey, going through some really uncomfortable things. She's inconvenienced. And I must say, being a guy, I'm sure with all the love that Joseph had for Mary, he was inconvenienced too. But one of the most conflicting parts about traveling during the holidays is often when you have to stay at a hotel because you're visiting family, mainly because you don't want to stay with that family, so you're like, I'll stay in a hotel. Or you stay at a home that's not yours. It's not that it's not a great place to stay. It's not that you're not welcome. And it's not even that it's not as nice. It may be great. But there's something about being in the privacy of your own home, in your own house, doing your own routine, doing your own thing that makes one feel very comfortable and being safe. How many travel to America every now and then? Every now and then you go across the border and you stay down there. And then when you come back, how many go, oh, as soon as you cross the border and get into Canada? Because you're home. It's comfortable, right? And you're like, whew, nothing weird happened while I was there. I'm happy, right? And then you come in here and there's a whole bunch of weird stuff going on, but it's your home. And it's your weirdness. It's your Canada. You're comfortable. Well, how many when you're traveling, I love to travel, but I know that there's a point in the stay where I'm like, I just want my own bed. I want my own pillow. I want my own sheets. I want my own. I want to be comfortable. Well, there's something to be said about that. And it's not that people aren't trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but it's just something said about being comfortable and safe. When we hear the Christmas story, it doesn't give me a sense of being comfortable. Since she's pregnant, they're all walking back and traveling back to where they go. It doesn't give me a feeling of safe. These people were dominated by the Romans. The Romans came in and took over. Their regular routines were just tossed up and thrown into chaos. And when we look at Mary and Joseph, God displaced them from where they live, from their home, to make this long journey to a place that they didn't really know. And so as we put ourselves in their shoes, this was an extra busy time because everybody's going home. So it's like going to the mall. There's a lineup for everything. Right? There's a lot that everyone's jammed in the mall. Nobody knows. I got to buy something. And it's just everybody's in there. And I'll tell you, I have to go there because I've done zero shopping other than the one thing through Amazon. And Michelle knows this. She knows I don't do that until later, until she gives me the list. And then I just buy her whatever she wants because that's how we do it because she's so special. I want her to have everything and anything she wants. That's what you should be doing, husbands. Whatever she wants, you get it. Men, you're in trouble. When we go shopping, you like the red shoes? You want the black ones? Let's get them both. All right, done. She's happy. I'm happy. A happy wife means a happy? Yes. Have you ever traveled to a place where you didn't know where to go and what to do? The first time I traveled, Michelle and I traveled, I didn't travel a lot. I was a wreck for 3 or 4 days. Grumpy. Didn't know whether I was coming or going. I didn't know where things were. I wasn't comfortable. I felt really weird. And she's like, oh, you're so grumpy. We need to do like 5 days of vacation before the vacation so you get comfortable with the vacation. But it would take me a while. And I felt displaced and I felt lost and I didn't feel safe. I didn't know where. When we did our first trip to Cuba, I Google mapped that thing so I knew where Guantanamo Bay was just in case something went haywire. I knew where I had to go if all the world went into upheaval. I knew the path, I knew the roads and the direction. I just followed it on the map. Google, I'm going to go south, you know, east, and I know where Guantanamo Bay is. That's how I need to know what's going on. I need to know all the exits from a building. When I'm in a room, I like to be safe. I like to say, if something goes haywire, there's the exit, boom, we're out the door. That kind of stuff. I like being safe. Now, I'm not a weirdo about it. I just casually say, Michelle, you can't sit there. I have to sit there because it faces the exit so I can see who comes in and comes out. It's not strange. No, don't laugh. It's not. But I like to be comfortable and I like to be safe and I like to see that. So we all like to be safe. We all like to be comfortable. In your life, when you feel inconvenienced or displaced, You have to think that God might have a plan for you. He might have something in store for you that's unique for you. I want to encourage you not to get discouraged when your expectations are not met, when something's happening. It can be very upsetting when you have these expectations and things don't go the way they're supposed to go. You'd like everything just to work out. And I like that. I like things organized. I like things laid out. I've gotten better with age to be like, oh, well, what can I do? Nothing I can do about it. But I like it laid out. So I want to encourage you this morning to keep going because God does have a plan for your life, and he has a good plan, and it's a plan where you will flourish. And so how do we keep going? As we look at this story, how do we keep going? Well, we recognize that in our inconvenience, in our discouragement, and in our displacement, number one, God wants to use your loss of rights for his glory. He wants to use your loss of rights for his glory. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone had to go where they had to be registered, to their own town. You see, the promised land had been given to the Israelites by God. Many centuries later, though, Rome conquered them, came in, and brought them under the suppression of the Roman Empire. And that meant Rome could do whatever they wanted, tax them, punish them, have different rules for them. They could do whatever they want. And this is the time that was going on with the rulers at this particular story, this particular Christmas story point in Scripture. They must have felt very upset because God had given them that land. They must have felt like it was a dark time for the Jewish people. And yet, as we see throughout history, God always consistently worked in the darkness to bring out Israel's deliverance in every situation. Whether it was 40 years, whether it was however many years and whoever the empire was at the time, God always worked things out. Even when the people of Israel lost all their rights, God worked things out. He worked things out through Joseph in the Old Testament, delivering his family out of famine. He worked through the Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt, taking them to the promised land. And now, through the Israelites being overpowered by Rome, in this scripture, God brings about the salvation of the world like never seen before. You know, missionaries often find themselves in these situations. When they go to foreign countries, they don't have all the rights as normal citizens. They just don't. They don't have those rights. They're limited on their movements, what they can do, their ability to get things done in the country that they're in. Yet because of that limitation, it's often found that they have an influence that the people there don't have. People seem to listen to missionaries just a little bit more. Not all the time, but just a little bit more, because they see that the message that those missionaries are bringing cost them something. It wasn't easy. They were displaced. Their words often carry weight because of the hardships and sacrifices they had to make to go to that country to bring the message they're bringing and do what they're doing in that country. And we don't always like feeling like worshiping in church sometimes. When we're disappointed, we walk in the doors and we feel disappointed and we feel displaced. But that's a hidden opportunity to believers. Disappointment offers us a chance to grow closer with God. God wants to work and do things in our life, in our world. And some of the greatest works that we can do and that have been done will often come about because of people's proper response to disappointment. If we just have a fit and have a little spaz because it didn't work out, I don't know what the Greek word for spaz is, but I'm pretty sure it's in there. We choose when we choose to worship instead of complaining, when we choose, no matter what the situation is, to worship God, we get to be a part of his great plan. We have an opportunity to worship God with our words, with our actions, with our attitudes, to worship him through the giving to others, loving, through loving the unlovable, by praising him, by focusing our attention on him instead of ourselves. That's what missionaries do. That's what we should be doing daily. If a missionary was spoiled and went to a country, he's like, they're not treating me the way I should be because I'm Canadian and they should treat me better, they would say, how about you just leave? No one would listen to them. It's the same in churches. When we come in, you're here to worship. You're here to learn and grow. We're not here to complain. We're here to worship. And sometimes in our displacement, and sometimes in our discouragement, in our uncomfortableness, God is actually doing something. What we should be doing is listening and waiting to hear what he has to say to us. And so recognize that there is a blessing in the uncomfortable that God puts us in. When have you given your rights up for something? And when you did have to give those rights up, did you do it well? Or did you think about me, 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 instead of him, him, him? What did you do then? We, our life group went out and handed jackets to the homeless on Tuesday. And we gave out a lot of jackets. I don't know what the number was, but a lot. And it was really neat having conversations with a lot of them. They were so thankful and grateful and pleasant. One guy got a pleather jacket. He's a big guy, got a pleather jacket. He's like, oh, I got a leather jacket. And he's walking around like this. Look at me. And everybody's like, oh, cool. And this other guy got a jacket. And I never did see his face because he was like this the whole time. He was cold and wet. So we got him a jacket. And he's like, is it waterproof? I'm like, I'm assuming that they're all waterproof, but, you know, I haven't tested it. But he goes, well, I'm going to take the chance. And off he goes. And they were just so, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about our life group. It was about them. We shook their hands, gave them some hot chocolate, gave them some donuts, which probably wasn't the healthiest option, but they were happy. They were happy to get them. But I'm telling you, man, society just ignores them. We got to think about that. And again, there's so many complex things going on there. But a lot of them have lost their rights for a lot of things. And yet, they still have a positive attitude. One guy got a pair of shoes and some socks, and he wanted a scarf. And we're like, well, we got this knitted girl's thing. I don't know. It's one of those ones you put. I don't know. It's a big one. And it's got a button, a girly button right on the front. And he goes, I don't care. You'd be surprised what I'll wear. I got to stay warm. And she puts this, he's got this big wool with a button right there. He didn't care. He's like, it was just really good. And some of them were discouraged, but yet they had an attitude of you know what? Things are going to get better. And I was just like, huh. That's impressive. That's impressive. And yet we, having pretty much not needing anything, can feel like all hope is lost. And these people don't even have shoes or jackets. So we got to think about this. We got to put things into perspective. How do we keep going in our journey? In our inconvenience, our discouragement, and displacement, well, we need to realize that God wants us to use our loss for his glory, our loss of our rights. But we also need to recognize that God has a journey just for us, individually each. You see, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting child. You see, things went from bad to worse for Mary and Joseph. They found themselves displaced from their home by a taxation issue. Really, that's the only reason why the censuses are there. They want to know how many people they got so that they can charge you taxes. That's what ours are as well. It's not because they just want to know that you're alive and well. No, they want to tax you. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. That's it. That's all. Give to Trudeau what is Trudeau's. No, I don't know. Whatever. You know what I'm saying. This was not a vacation. This was not like, hey, I just love to head to the lovely sand dunes of Bethlehem for no reason whatsoever. You see, Mary's life was thrown off balance. She probably wanted to eat and vomit at the same time being pregnant. While traveling, it would have been impossible for her to get comfortable. And they might have had maybe some things to make some, but man, it wouldn't have been fun. It wouldn't have been a fun ride. And at this point in Mary and Joseph's life, everything was in upheaval. Just the whole pregnancy. Everything was changing in their lives and how that all came about. And yet they were called to keep moving and to fulfill the purpose that God had for them, and that was Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old ancient times." Micah in the Old Testament speaks of Bethlehem, where the Savior will be born. It was a small city, but it was a critical part in the promise that God had made a long time ago about the Messiah's birth. The great big plan of God required this difficult journey. You see, many of us have a false conception that if God is leading us, the journey will be easy. It'll be comfortable. It'll make sense. How many know that God doesn't make sense sometimes when he tells you to do something? But look at anyone who has done anything amazing for God. They went through hardship. You know, it's outside of our comfort zone. It's outside of our comfort zone in the learning zone that God uses people. You know, in psychology, there's a theory, a learning theory. It's called the learning zone model. And there are three different zones or state of being that you can be in. There's the comfort zone, there's the learning zone, and then there's the panic zone. How many know the panic zone? How many know the panic zone very well? How many know the comfort zone? Are you comfortable? Not all the time. We don't usually know the learning zone super well because we prefer the comfort zone, or we're usually in panic mode because we haven't learned anything in the learning zone. We went from being comfortable to uncomfortable in a nanosecond. And you see, it's in the comfort zone and the panic zone. There's no learning and there's no growth that takes place. But in between the comfort and panic zone is where growth and learning take place. But when we are learning, we are going through hardship, and that's not fun. And so we don't like to learn. When we're pulled out of our comfort zone, we don't like it. Many of us feel that we need to be comfortable at all times. But God's journey for our lives is a struggle because it takes us from our place of comfort to the place that God has for us, which isn't always comfortable getting there. You may be robbed of your comfort and of your convenience if you listen to God. There's no need to panic or complain because there's a reason for that discomfort. And God is doing something. The journey that God has for you and has for me positions us for the promises that he is giving us. The journey that he has planned, he will go a long way with us. More than that, though, he's going to prepare your way to where he wants you to be. How do we keep going? We recognize that our discouragement and our displacement, that in that, God has a place for us. You see, in Scripture, they found a place. They found a manger. It was provided. No, it wasn't Five Stars of Bethlehem, the Hilton. It wasn't anything like that. It was either a cave or a barn or whatever. There were animals there. There was literally no room for God at all. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And it's easy for us to criticize that an innkeeper or a family member wouldn't give Mary and Joseph a room for the birth of their child. But we have to realize that nothing like this happened in the history of the world. It had never happened before. And it was a singular moment inspired by God. And as believers, our lives should be frequently, we should frequently feel like there's no room for us. We should frequently feel that it's uncomfortable, like it was for them. We should never fully fit into this world because our lives are God-inspired. You shouldn't feel comfortable. You should feel uneasy, not in a bad way, but just uncomfortable. Because this world can't fully contain our purpose. And people should have a very hard time fitting us into a box because God's purposes are better than ours. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Elf, where Will Ferrell plays this character where he was a baby in an orphanage, climbs into Santa's, it's not a true story, just know it's not based on a real story, climbs into Santa's magical sack, and Santa heads off to the North Pole, and here comes this baby human in an elf's world. And he grows up not knowing that he's an elf, that he's not an elf. He grows up thinking he's an elf, but he's actually a human. He's ginormous. And all these little people. And the two guys are I guess they're standing by the water cooler having a cup of coffee or whatever, these two little elves, and they're like, well, if he hasn't figured it out yet, he's never gonna figure it out. He's so dumb, right? And then he's like, whoa, boom, and he passes out. And then the whole story goes on. He tries to figure out who he is, what he is, where he comes from. You see, he's displaced. He's always felt odd. He's always been in a weird spot. They always said he was special. He was the special elf. Well, for the rest of his childhood and adulthood, he was raised like an elf, but he outgrew that. He outgrew that elf world. Why? Because he wasn't an elf. He wasn't an elf. He was born different. And while it felt like he was being rejected or there was no room for him, he was born to live a life different than that of who he was raised with. And see, while we are not, you know, humans living in Santa's elf world, just in case you were wondering if it's possible, it's not. But since we are not, we have to think about, we are eternal creatures living in a contemporary world. We don't fit in because we were born for something different. You were born for something different. Do you ever feel out of place? Do you ever feel like there's no perfect fit for you in this world doing what God has called you to do? I'm here to tell you, if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel displaced, if you feel that you don't fit in, that's a good thing. It's good because you're in great company. When you follow God in blazing new trails, you're visiting territories no one else has seen. So there's not going to be a place for you. You're going to feel. But I promise you, that God is preparing the path. He's preparing the place for you in whatever it is God has for your journey. But the key to all of this is humility. We've been talking about that kind of throughout our series, is humility. Both before others, humility, and before God, humility. It means trusting God enough to say that you can be who he created you to be and to be brave enough to stay on that new path. We must not conform to what might feel comfortable in order to find a predetermined place that the world has created for you. Don't believe what the world has to sell you, okay? Don't believe it. You have bigger plans. When God is present in your journey, your life will look nothing like anyone else's, not even those in this room, even though you each have a plan. That's because God has a unique plan for you. Your story is not better. It's not worse than someone else. It's your story that God has for you. In this great story, he's telling you play a very specific role. And you'll know that Scripture talks about the human body and how we are all the body of Christ and how everything has a purpose. And that's the point. Don't worry about what other people in the body are doing. Worry about what you're doing, what your purpose is. You are not called to play someone else's role. You are called to play your role. And there's a unique journey that's mapped out for you, but guess what? It might seem weird. It might seem strange. It might not seem normal because it's not. It's the plan that God has. Are you going to be brave enough to follow the path that God has designed for you without necessarily being able to see that far in advance? Are you able to? You know, I believe that you can. But while you're on that path, there's many things that can distract you. Many things that will distract you. And like, wow, this would just be better over here. This would be more comfortable over here, and I'll just do that instead. But God's going, no, stay on the path. There will be many times you will want to veer off the path because it's easier, it's comfortable. I'm asking you today, don't do that. Stay on the path. And I want you this morning to recognize in your discouragement and in your displacement that God wants to use your situation for his glory. He has a journey for you, and he also has a place for you prepared in that journey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this.